Some watch it for the football. Others, they say, watch it for the commercials. And there are a number of businesses and organizations that are very anxious to take advantage of that observation. So anxious and willing to take advantage that they are also willing to expend tremendous amounts of cash. Because of the current economic downturn, I read that the price tag for a commercial during the Super Bowl is down a bit this year. A 30-second ad is selling in 2010 for $2.5 to $2.8 million, which comes to approximately $93,000 a second. Why are they willing to fork over that kind of cash? Well, in the case of businesses, at least, it is believed that by getting the message into the ears of millions of individuals, they will increase their sales and thereby increase their profit margin. In other words, they believe that if they fill the airwaves with their words, they'll get good things in return. But we've got something even better and far more reliable. Having the ears of millions of Super Bowl viewers may be good for business, but that's about all. And there's so much more to life than commercial business. What's really needed is the ability to get our words, our messages, our concerns, our thoughts to the ears of someone who can actually do something about all of those things, which of course is God. And the Apostle Peter explains how that is done. Reading from the third chapter of 1 Peter, verses 10 through 12. He who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Filling the airwaves with prayers and petitions is nothing new to the human race, nor is it geographically restricted. Billions of people around the globe are actively involved on a daily basis with filling the airwaves with their prayers and petitions being addressed to what they perceive to be a higher power. The awareness of a supreme being is a part of the human makeup, and so people are very anxious and ready and active in filling the airwaves with their prayers. If prayer waves were visible, we'd see an extraordinary amount of space clutter. The trouble is, prayers that flow from the natural human heart don't reach the ears of the holy God. Peter explains that the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, and we were all evil by nature, are all evil by nature. When sin entered the world, man's prayer signals were jammed. Man's prayer waves were scrambled. And God doesn't listen to such scramblings. He ignores all words from unholy lips that attempt to reach his holy ears. Behold, says Isaiah, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. But there's a way to get through, a way of God's own designing. And talk about expensive. The price tag that was set on the reopening of the channels between us and God was extraordinarily high. So high it makes Super Bowl ads look like pocket change. Peter speaks of the way in which that took place and takes place in the same epistle, completing a passage that I read a few weeks ago. If you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Since the holy God listens to prayers only that come from holy people, we sinners needed righteousness. The righteousness which then came to us when Jesus shed his precious blood. With the shedding of his blood, our guilt was canceled, and our sinfulness was replaced with his complete and perfect righteousness. In Christ, we're covered. In Christ, we've been declared righteous, which means that in Christ, we have the ear of God himself. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. All of our prayer ways now rise instantly to the throne of heaven, where every one of our requests is heard, considered, and answered. And every one of our requests is heard, considered, and answered by the one who can actually do infinitely more than all human beings on earth put together. Our financial challenges in need of resolution. Well, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. He who kept a widow's cruse of oil from running out, and who is able to feed thousands from a few fish and a handful of bread, is certainly willing and able to address whatever monetary needs might arise. Are there health issues causing difficulty or distress? All power is given to me in heaven and on earth, Jesus says. He who showed during his earthly ministry his ability to heal a servant even from a distance and who could stop death in its tracks can easily whisk away every one of our ailments should that be what is best for us. Does there appear to be on the horizon some trouble for which we simply do not know the answer? No problem for God. Call on me in the day of trouble, he says. I will deliver you. He who parted waters and calmed the sea can keep any storm from brewing and doing damage in our lives. How sad, then, that we don't call on him as we should. Imagine how thrilled the advertisers of this world would be if they were told that they could get their message out as much as they wanted to as many people as they wanted, whenever they wanted, absolutely for free. They would jump at the chance to fill the airwaves in expectation of receiving good, great personal benefit. How much more anxious shouldn't we be to make daily use of this amazing privilege of Christian prayer? Since Christ has covered us with his righteousness, we have direct access to God. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Pray with the confidence that he'll happily reply, knowing that our God is not one who gives grudgingly, but who gives liberally and joyfully. Come, my suit, come, my soul, thy suit prepare. Jesus loves to answer prayer. Come to him with requests as big as your concerns. You are coming to a king. Large petitions with you bring. Come to him with the awareness that the one who has already taken care of our biggest problem, our sin, can easily handle anything else that might concern. With my burden I begin. Lord, remove this load of sin. Let thy blood for sinners spilt set my conscience free from guilt. Filling airwaves with expensive words in the hope of deriving some benefit. It's an uncertain activity, it's an uncertain game with very uncertain results. But filling the ears of the Lord with our prayer waves of adoration, confession, supplication, and thanksgiving is guaranteed to work. To work all things out to God's glory and our great good. We sing of our prayer privilege in the form of hymn 459, the first three stanzas and stanza six, 459, 1 through 3, and 6.